Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
You're guaranteed football. It's your football fix. Good morning, Axel.
You're not going to scream, are you, Ax?
Oh.
Welcome to the jungle, also known as an NFL locker room, hyper-aggressive alpha males. Let's go! Ball.
Every weekday morning at 8 o'clock, we guarantee you football with Doug and Wolf. Wolf is your color analyst of the Arizona Cardinals. Paul Calvisi, your sideline reporter. And you've got Cardinals football coming up Saturday night. Chargers are in town. There's four preseason games, not five this year, four preseason games. 1-4 at home, 2-3 on the road. And you, among other things, have your eye on Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, I do. Listen, Hassan Reddick and Robert Kimdichie, two first-round picks. Two incredibly talented guys on the defensive side of the ball, and both of these guys could change the fortune of the Arizona Cardinals in 2018.
Why?
Hassan Reddick, because of the talent that he is. You know what? Here's what I want to see. Here's the scouting report on Hassan Reddick. A little bit earlier this morning, I was talking about Mason Cole. Here's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see Justin Pugh stand up and make calls on the line. All right? I don't want to see that because that tells me that Mason Cole may be making an incorrect call, okay? Hassan Reddick. I don't want to see Hassan Reddick having long conversations with Al Holcomb on the sideline.
Okay.
Conversations typically mean you're doing something wrong or you blew an assignment.
You know,
I don't want to see that. The fewer we see Al Holcomb seeking out Hassan Reddick, the better.
I would say, though, the conversation I really don't want to see is him having it on the field with Josh Bynes or Dayon Buchanan. I mean, if he wants to come over to the sideline and talk to his coach and get coached up and try and figure out a few things and a couple of takeaways, but it's on the field when he has to talk to those around him to try and, you know, deduce exactly what's going on, perhaps with a certain formation, because we know Hassan Reddick is fast for a linebacker. Can he play fast? That's what we need to figure out. Can he play fast at an NFL speed? Tyrann Mathieu might have run a 4.5, but his rookie year he played like he ran a 4.3.
No doubt.
The instincts, the reaction time. We need to see that out of Hassan Reddick.
And not only that, Hassan Reddick, I absolutely love this kid. I really do, because he does have a burning desire to be good. So much of the time, Basinonians, when you see a first-round pick, when you see him struggle, oh my goodness, you know why he's struggling? He's struggling because everything's always come easy to him. Everything. I don't care what sport you're talking about. In all sports, if you're a first-round pick, you see a guy struggling so much of the time, it's because, you know what, everything's always come easy. It's about complacency more than anything else. Not with Hassan Reddick. This kid cares. This kid wants to be good. He remember, Paul, the Big Red Rage we just did with him, right?
You could see it in his eyes.
You could see it in his eyes and hear it in his voice. I'm going to do this. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to get it. And
he said he didn't want to be the guy to let the defense down.
I know.
He feels that responsibility.
I totally believe that. And that's the reason why I'm not going to bet against the kid. Because of his supreme athletic talent. And he is a freak athletically. But now it's because of his desire as well.
Doug and Wolf's.
I'm such a joke.
Impromptu.
Oh, you're so clever.
PowerPoint.
No.
Doug, you were good.
Set up. Very simple. Yes, I completely set everybody up here.
We got blindsided. We're wearing the black jersey,
totally
Doug. No contact.
The game is Saturday. Paul is first.
Oh, no.
Your question is this. What are the five things you want to see Friday? You've been talking about what you don't want to see.
Yeah.
What are the five things that you do want to see on Saturday night against the Chargers?
Number five.
Paul, go.
Do the Cardinals have a legitimate number two receiver? We've got like a half dozen guys vying to be the number two receiver. Is there one in this group Is Christian Kirk ready to be that guy right here, right now? I want to figure that out.
What's amazing is Paul's already looking at my sheet, because my number five is every wide receiver not named Larry Fitzgerald is what I'm looking at for this. Wolf, what are you looking at, number five?
You guys are absolutely wrong right there, okay? You're wrong. You're dead wrong. And the reason why you're
wrong, stalling.
I don't have time, as a matter
you're
of fact.
You're stalling. That's what you're doing.
It's right here. How many times will Mike McCoy use regular personnel? Two back. That's what I'm looking for, number five.
No, you're so... I'm railroading Paul.
Number four.
Because number four is... How many... Look at this. David Johnson, Chase Edmonds. How many times are they together in the backfield? That's what I'm staring down. The number four thing I'm looking at for Saturday, Johnson and Edmonds in the same backfield.
I'm looking at the two tackles. What do we really know about Andre Smith? DJ Humphreys in the knee. We know he's been going against Chandler Jones, one of the best in the biz, but now he gets Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and Brandon Meebame on the middle.
Well done.
So I'm going for the tackles and the edge protection.
You know what? My number four, Basinonians, has the quick game returned to the desert? Kurt Warner.
Number three.
How about number two corner? Jamar Taylor, your clubhouse leader with the experience, but how about Chris Campbell, the 6'1" rookie who's listed second team on the depth chart? Brandon Williams is third team. Is anyone going to make a statement and make a play opposite Patrick Peterson?
I'm looking at number 90, okay? Everybody's saying you're having a good camp. We see you running around. We see what you're doing, but... are you going to do it in a game? Now, granted, as soon as you do it in a game, we're going to say, are you going to do it in an actual regular season game? But will it translate, or are you just going to keep diving into a gap and then falling down and thinking the play's over?
Number three, Basinonians, right? What defense will Al Holcomb use? What will be the base defense? What defenses will we see?
Top five things you think we're going to see or you want to see coming up Saturday night against the Chargers.
Number two.
I want to see Robert Kimdichie do to the Chargers O-line what he's been doing to the Cardinals in the one-on-one drills. And I want to see him be gap sound. I want to see a guy who's not a liability in his assignments, a guy who can use that athleticism to really be disruptive and be reliable. Because if he's going to leave open gaps, I fear for the Cardinals' run defense this year.
Come on, I'm being a fan here. Let's just say it. I want to see what Josh Rosen does. You traded up for him. You have Baker Mayfield being challenged by Hugh Jackson about when are you going to do your little workouts. You have supposedly it's not going all that well for other rookie quarterbacks. Josh Rosen, I want to see. I want to see what you got Saturday.
I would say number two right here. What's this offense going to look like without A.Q. Shipley?
But that's not number two, because that's...
number one.
The number one thing to be looking at in this preseason game is how Mason Cole handles the start. That's number one.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what? We can go back and look at the film later. When the game's going on, I am absolutely watching your number one pick, the future franchise quarterback.
Indeed.
Thank goodness there's a reason to watch after the starting quarterback comes out. They keep these preseason games compelling and intriguing. And yeah, is Rosen ready? Could he be ready? That's the number one question.
Rosen reps. How many reps is he actually going to get in this game?
No, it's the Rosen rap, not the Rosen rep.
And not only that, Josh Rosen. And so it begins. What do you got, kid?
That. Oh, look at that. We got a close. Bear, that was fantastic.
I mean, honestly, it's just so, it's acute, isn't it, with Josh Rosen now. What do you got, kid? Although I can tell you right now, he's not going to win anything. He's not going to sit there and, oh, look at Josh Rosen. He's going to be, he's going to be great, because he's playing against guys that won't even be in the NFL. It's not about that. It's about beating the alternative. Going out and performing well.
Yeah, if he throws three picks in one quarter, how are you not going to go, okay, what happened here? What's going on? Coming up next, he was outstanding. Unfortunately, there was a Diekman. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hard to be positive about yesterday's Diamondback game. I mean, it's point blank easy to say that. There is one positive, and he does deserve a ton of credit, and that is Zach Greinke who throws 48 pitches in the first two innings and comes nowhere near performing to the level you expect from a Zach Greinke because of the high pitch count. Doesn't give up any runs, but because of the high pitch count, when you're sitting there after a 14-inning game and you're telling yourself, you've got to go seven today, and now you're throwing 48 pitches, walking four hitters in two innings, then leading off the third inning.
There's a drive to deep right field, and that ball is going to get out of here.
I mean, it was bad at the beginning for Zach Greinke. Three innings, or I should say two innings plus, and it's 1-0. You've walked four, and you've already thrown at that time then. It would have been about 53, 54 pitches. He only throws 53 total pitches to get through the next five innings after the home run.
Amazing.
And pitches to the minimum, allowing only one hit the whole time, and that guy got picked off. That is fantastic for a guy to get on top of things.
It wasn't a Zach outing early on, and I just think he started getting rhythm with his fastball, started to stay behind it and drive it down to the edges of the plate, and you could tell he was really struggling with the command of that pitch. I could see Jeff setting up targets down, and he was missing up. I think it might have been just a release point issue and just getting comfortable, and he got into a good rhythm. I think he threw a couple really quality pitches in the third, late in the third inning, that led me to think that he got that under control. Had some quick conversations with him, and he said he felt great. He felt fine, so he was going to get the baseball for as long as he could possibly go.
It's so easy to perform when your talent is readily available. You know what I mean? I think we'd all, when we feel good and our biorhythms are good, oh, you know what? Honestly, we're so much better at our jobs, right? It's so easy to perform when your talent is readily available, but what do you do when that talent is hiding? As a former player, this is what I'm fascinated with, and this is what I respect. Can you find it? Well, you know what? Zach Greinke found it. It's so difficult to actually find it midstream while you're competing, while you're right in the middle of it, whatever sport you're playing. I can't tell you how many times I went out there thinking I was ready to play an NFL game. This was my mojo. It was the only thing I really had. Was the fact that I knew how to prepare and be willing to give all that I had on a Sunday. And then how many times I went to hit that button when I stepped in between those white lines, and it was not there. It was not there. Can you find it when it's not there? And Zach Greinke, you could see it from the beginning of this game. He was fighting it big time, fighting himself. And the fact that he found it and overcame it, and was able to actually only give up one run in seven innings. Truly amazing. It's stuff like that when you hear me say a leader has to do before he can say. And I'm not saying Zach Greinke's a guy who's big on say. He isn't. He's big on doing. But for the most part, in a clubhouse, in a locker room, in a dressing room, whatever sport you're playing, that guy's profile is going to just skyrocket when everyone knows. Oh my goodness, he didn't have it, and he battled.
Unfortunately, that's your only positive in this game.
It is.
And we want to give Greinke the credit, but the Diamondbacks had two innings, the first and the third. Listen to this. These are the only two innings in the whole game where they got a base hit and didn't have a double play.
Yes.
Two innings in the whole game.
Plays.
In the first, they got a base hit, and the other three guys got out. In the third inning, they actually had a base hit, but the other three guys got out. In every other inning, they either didn't get a hit or actually got a hit, but hit into a double play. It was horrible offense. They are now 1-for-17 with runners in scoring position in this series. Yet, beautiful comeback Monday night. And then last night, it's still only 1-0 when Greinke checks out. It's top of the eighth inning. Leadoff hitter comes to the plate in Hernandez.
Here's the pitch. And there's a bunt deep in Fields. And he throws to first low, and he throws it away. And the runner's going to end up at third base. Well, maybe. Here comes a throw by Souza, and he airmails it. And the runner's going to come in and score. That's going to be a Little League home run. Unbelievable. Two errors on the play. Phillies lead 2-0.
three base air to get Hernandez all the way to third on the terrible play by Diekman. Then he doesn't hustle and back up third. Souza, not a good decision. He airmails a throw to third, and then therefore the runner scores. The reason why we call it a Little League home run is if it's your kid and they circle the bases when they're, you know, 9 years old, you're hugging them, you're cheering them. You get a home run! You know, you get all excited about it. And you should. It's fun. But in real life, you didn't hit a home run.
At this level?
You bunted, and the team kicked the ball around the infield. And then Diekman went to the point after that, after he's the one that completely butchered that play mentally and physically. Walk, single, walk, double, and he's out of the game. And he did get one out and then left the game. That was so bad that you mentally check out on the play after your error, and then you don't compete.
Did that play affect the rest of the inning for you? Was it in your head at all? Or?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
A good answer right there.
He said no, it wasn't in his head. So you just naturally go in that spell of walk, single, walk, double.
Yeah, it was bad. There's no doubt about it, right? And I said this earlier. I'll continue to say it. Listen, I don't know Jake Diekman, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know his mental makeup. I don't know how he is. I think this could just be a complete anomaly, what we've seen from him so far. But it looks like to me that he's playing in pressure-packed situations, right? It looks like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders when he's taking the ball, and he's not just going out and just letting his talent take over. He seems stiff, and at times he seems mechanical. His throwing error last night, I think, pretty much sums up how he looks while pitching, just kind of robotic. And as I said, maybe this is just a product of the trade with Texas, of course, and the pressure of being in this pennant race.
You know,
I don't know, but
tell me if this concerns you then. This is Torrey Lovello's answer to a question yesterday that is kind of interesting, and that is the throwing error a trend in his performance? You know, is this who he is? Is he a bad fielding pitcher? And if it is, okay, this is scary, but then you're saying, all right, we got to have other guys pick him up. You believe in him so much as a pitcher, you accept a bad defensive player. Or since he has looked so bad defensively, if he was good in the past, that's got to scare you that you have to ask the question, can you handle a pennant race? What's going on? Here's Torrey Lovello when asked, is this a trend from the past?
I don't think so. But, you know, we have asked and talked about it and looked at some video, and we haven't seen that trend. So I think yesterday, the last outing when he threw to first base, that was the first time he's thrown a ball away. He's been looking comfortable in some of the videos that we've seen thrown to bases on comebackers. So we haven't been necessarily seeing that. But it's something, obviously, when you see it back-to-back, we're gonna pay attention to it. And that's what we do here. We're gonna you know, make sure we address those needs as quickly as we possibly can.
Here's the good news right here. The Diamondbacks, one of the elite teams in Major League Baseball in scoring runs since the All-Star break. Okay, that's the good news right there. So, again, maybe the last two games, a bit of an anomaly here for this.
But I'll give you Jake Arrieta, not last night.
Exactly, but not last night. But again, I know, Douglas, you're going to say, you understand a game that is not your best game from time to time. When you play 162, you're going to have games like this from time to time. There's no doubt about that. Also, too, their bullpen, an elite bullpen, as we all know. Their defense, an elite defensive team. As a matter of fact, you heard Paul Calvisi talking about the fact that going into last night's game, number one fielding percentage team in Major League Baseball. So, again, it's not characteristic of what we saw last night. And that's the good news.
Yes, you're going to have some struggles from time to time. Get that entirely. May 21st, last time Pivetta was ever able to go over six innings in a shutout.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it's going to happen from time to time. You're going to get these duds. You play 162. It's part of the ebb and the flow.
Jake Arrieta, I'm good with that. But I'm looking at a lineup of Peralta, Goldschmidt, Pollock, Escobar, Souza, Marte, Ahmed. Pivetta should not be shutting you down. Ever. There's never an acceptable time to look at a franchise and say, that's good enough offense. Especially when you got shut down by Arrieta. I mean, now there's got to be somebody that in that clubhouse that says, okay, let's step up, let's execute, let's not hit into double plays. And then you have the meltdown in the eighth inning of just trash. I mean, that eighth inning, that was trash baseball. And Diekman, I don't know you, but engage here. Engage. There's a pennant race going on, and the team could use you. Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios, it will go down as one of the most memorable speeches in TV show history. What show? It's all about football. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doug and Wolf from the Auction Community Studios. It's time for a little Hard Knock. I thought for sure there was going to be something from you.
Right, nothing.
Let's see.
Like it.
This is Jarvis Landry. We did an excellent job beeping, but I'm assuming your kids are at school now.
Yes.
So I feel very comfortable hitting play. But like I said, a lot of beeps. Wide receiver, Miami Dolphins, good career. Now he's in his first year as a Cleveland Brown. And he's in the Cleveland Browns wide receiver room. And I don't want to act like I'm up on everything to do with Cleveland Browns camp, but I guess he's frustrated with the injuries in the wide receiver room.
Yes.
And did you know injuries are contagious?
No, I did not know that, as a matter of fact.
You're about to learn that they are.
I don't know what the f*** been going on here. And I don't know why it's been going on here. But this, if you're not hurt, like if your hamstring ain't falling off the bone, your leg ain't broke, I don't know, like you should be practicing. Like straight up. Like that is weakness, and that is contagious as and that shit won't be in this room, bro. That been here in the past, and that's why the past has been like it is, bro. That is over with here, bro. If you can practice, practice. You can't get no better. Ain't nobody gonna get better by being on the sideline if you ain't hurt. If you not hurt, you gotta practice. Because you make other work even harder. Now they had more risk of getting hurt because you don't want practice. Because you being a
I like the long beeps.
Straight up, man, that is real, bro. That ain't happening here. I'm just letting y'all know that not happening here. I'm hurting, I'm tired, just like every body in this.
Long beep.
But I ain't taking no days off because I can't be put that way. That gotta be the attitude and the mentality all the time. All that weak don't live here no more. That don't exist. It's contagious, bro.
He still got five more seconds.
Like, it's really contagious. It's contagious.
If this is genuine. Minus the profanity, of course, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm not a profane man. But this is great stuff. I mean, honestly, once again, I've heard many, many players actually call out other players, right? I've heard many players do it. I've seen many players. I've done it myself, as a matter of fact, and I've been called out myself as well. But I can tell you right now, if it's genuine, this is the kind of leadership that I'm talking about, being willing to walk up on somebody or stand up in front of your room, and that's what he's doing. And by the way, I've been in that wide receiver room. I know exactly where
it is. It's contagious.
It is contagious. Weakness is contagious. Weakness. And that's what he's talking about, right? There were a lot of really good points that he made in this thing, but it's so laced with profanity, you can't really get it, right? You're just so focused on the profane as opposed to the profound. And there is some profound things that he's saying here. It is weakness. You don't want to practice. So now all of a sudden, yeah, your room is depleted and it puts the onus on everybody else. Now everyone else has got to step up and get more reps because you're out there. Oh, my hammy. Yeah, I understand the sentiment there, but what's interesting about this, nobody really knows. Is this Jarvis Landry being genuine or is this Jarvis Landry going, oh, Hard Knocks is here? There's the camera. You know what? I'm going to take charge of this bleep, right? I mean, this is my question, because everybody, make no mistake about it, Basinonians, everybody in that room knows Jarvis Landry and knows if this is in character for him or out of character.
Coming up,
and if it's out of character, he's baked.
I want to ask you this. Coming up pretty soon here, from 10 to 2 today, Bickley and Murata are going to be live at University of Phoenix Stadium. And one of their featured guests is Mason Cole. So we're going to hear from Mason Cole today before his first start as an NFL player at center, filling in for A.Q. Shipley. But I don't know how you feel about this, but how do you feel that the fact that Dan Bickley, relative to his show, which starts at 10 in the morning, is continually here before you? Like, he gets here sooner than you do.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, the way he works. Like, he's always getting here. And I don't mean he's before you as far as you get here almost on the dot 5 o'clock every day. But that's an hour before the show. He's always here about 2.5 hours before his show.
Yeah.
Why are you taking a step back? Why aren't you?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I was pretending to be Hugh Jackson.
What time do you normally get up in the morning?
I was a little bit later this morning.
No, I know. But what time do you normally come over?
Depends on when we start.
Huh?
Try and get in about 2 hours before.
Okay. Do you ever come in with your boy Five?
He does his own little workouts in the morning.
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your own little workout in the morning? You starting your career how you want to. You see what I'm saying? It's a competition in everything you do, baby. You know how to do it. Why not? It doesn't help.
That's Hugh Jackson, head coach of the Browns, talking to Baker Mayfield, the number one pick in the NFL draft. No, I was not being serious about. But that's Hugh Jackson comparing the work ethic of Tyrod Taylor to Baker Mayfield. Says, yes. Hey, I was a little late today. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. We'll move on from that. But what time do you? Oh, 2 hours before. 2 hours. Okay. Now, why don't you come in with your boy? And he does his own little workout.
His own little workout.
How about that?
Why don't you do a little workout?
Is that beneath you, Baker? I mean, he does his own little. I mean, think about the lack of perception in Baker Mayfield that here's a guy that's saying, I need to do this to be an NFL quarterback. You have never thrown an NFL pass in a game, and you're already, I don't need to.
Try and get in about 2 hours before.
Okay. Do you ever come in with your boy Five?
He does his own little workouts in the mornings.
Where's your own little workout?
That's great right there.
How about that little thing right there from Hugh Jackson? He's like, wait, what? And you can see he pauses after he hears little workout. Yeah. Well, where's your little workout?
Five.
He does his own little workouts in the mornings.
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Huh?
This
You're
is so embarrassing.
What?
It really is. If I'm John Dorsey, I'm calling Baker Mayfield into the disappointments route, and I'm reading him the riot act. You have to be told? You have to be told to get in earlier? You got Tyrod Taylor baiting you into the facility, outworking you to a point where the head coach is asking you to consider competing with him in preparation? Maybe we should build a franchise around Tyrod and pay him all the money. So help me, kid. You hose me on this deal. You hose me. You make me look like a fool, and I'll run your little hands out of the league.
Well, y'all don't work out in the morning.
Johnny Football Part 2? Smashing the mannequin with a ball bat.
Remember how mad he used to get at the Johnny Manziel comparisons?
Are you kidding me?
Baker. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live this Saturday, 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A just east of the 101 on Chandler Boulevard. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Cardinals preseason tickets, and more. The Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series is going on all season. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. Coming up next, outstanding comeback on Monday for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Gave up a little league home run last night. How's Mike Hazen feeling about today's day game? We'll talk to the GM next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf Mornings on the home of Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Diamondbacks front office focus. Presented by Cox Business. Switch to Cox Business and experience a different kind of communications company. Visit coxbusiness.com today.
Mike Hayes and the general manager joining Doug and Wolf on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Mike, it's a new day, and the great thing about baseball is you got another game. Here we go. But can you still taste last night's game?
No, not really.
Okay,
that wasn't a game last night that that you walk out feeling like, oh, you know, there have been those games. I think those ones happen a little bit later. Zach pitched great. I think that's something to look at. The bullpen was eventually going to give up a run to this team, which we hadn't done to date. And, you know, we weren't able to jump on Pivetta. And I think that's probably more the story of the game. I think the way Zach pitched for the first seven innings that, you know, you don't grab that lead, you end up playing a different type of ball game. So, no, just one of those situations for us. Hopefully we go out there today and win the series.
So, Mike, how do you keep yourself on an even keel? I mean, is it, you know, do you work out? Do you meditate? Do you yoga? You know, laying all over a ball? What do you do to keep yourself on an even keel?
I walk on hot coals. You know, I burn myself. No, I don't, you know, you go through the ups and downs of the season just like everybody else, but you do have to keep it in perspective. You know, you're going to have days in baseball that the fortunate and the unfortunate thing, with this game is that you play every day, and no matter what you did the night before to walk it off with a home run, it only lasts for 24 hours one way or another. So, we're looking forward to getting on a roll here at some point. You know, I think we've played fairly steady throughout the course of the season, but I think in order for us to win this division, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to take charge of this and start going on a little bit of a roll here at some point. And I think we're talented enough to do that. And I think, you know, the lineup is finally coming together, the bullpen, the starting rotation. So I think there's a lot of components there, but we're going to have to get going.
Talking to Mike Hazen, GM, Arizona Diamondbacks, do you have a level of concern with Jake Diekman's defense?
No, not really. I think, you know, it's a tough play for a lefty coming off the mound. We saw it out in Chicago with TJ as well in that game against the Cubs. I do think that's a tough play for the lefty to come off the mound and turn and fire. You know, again, it was an unfortunate thing. The guy's a good runner. He was pretty close to Goldie, I think. I think if the runner hadn't been as close to Goldie, there's a chance that he could have picked it as well. And then, you know, obviously the inning went a little sideways on us there after that.
So talk a little bit about your bullpen right now and the state of your bullpen after the trade deadline here, and evaluate, if you will, the three guys you've picked up. You already talked a little bit about Diekman right there, Mike, but talk a little bit about Andres and Brad Ziegler, if you would.
Yeah, you know, I think Andres for us is somebody that we look at that has the ability to pitch in multiple different roles in the bullpen. We think that he can handle, you know, 45 to 50 pitches. I think we obviously have shortened him up a little bit here, which is a little bit abnormal for him, how he's pitched this year. And then ultimately we think there's a chance that he could start down the road. So mm-hmm. I think those are the key components there. I think, and with Brad, you know, he's been doing what he's done for a long time. And, you know, even last night, he gets a ground ball, it goes through the hole. I think you're going to be at the mercy of that a little bit with the way he pitches, but like, the way we play defense, the way we pick up the ball, those things are going to turn into double plays a lot of times as well. So we think we think that there's some stability that's been added with, you know, the experience that they bring. And then certainly the rest of the bullpen that we've seen pitch well for us the entire season. It's been a strength of our team from pretty much start to finish.
Mm-hmm. With the new bullpen additions, is this a case where as soon as you brought these guys in, Torrey Lovello said, this is your role, this is your role, this is your role, okay, we're done, everybody break? Or is it one of those where you're feeling through what's everybody's roles? Or is the day and age of roles over in a bullpen and your job is just to go in when we tell you to go in?
I think it's the feeling out process one.
Okay.
I do think that there are definitely roles in the bullpen in my mind. I think we establish those and pitch into those. Yes, I do think guys coming into new situations, especially in the bullpen, there is a transition period that you sort of need to get through. I think we're going through that with all these guys. I think as you look back to the roles that they were in on previous clubs, it may be slightly different than it is now. You know, we had Brad Ziegler throw one plus with us the other night against the Giants. He hadn't really done that much with Miami. Coming into this team, sometimes those new things get asked of you. It's no excuse. Nobody was making an excuse. None of these guys make excuses for those things. I do think that bullpen guys can be a little bit creatures of habit at times, mm-hmm. and I do think roles are going to solidify. I think that will help ease into these guys know as they're watching games out in the bullpen, okay, it's his turn. You know, when the phone rings, I think there's a limited amount of guys that feel like the phone is ringing for them at certain periods of time. When we have a lead in the seventh inning, when the phone rings in the sixth inning or the seventh inning, Yoshi and Bradley are the ones that know, hey, it's probably coming for me. I think that's where that's how they mentally prepare to get ready to games. I think we're going to settle into those things in time here.
We're talking to the general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Mike Hazen, here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Mike, there were so many times that I took the field in my playing career where I knew, oh my goodness, you know what, I feel like I was ready to go. I knew I was ready to play, and yet I walked in between those white lines and suddenly things went awry. And watching Zach Greinke last night, you could just see where all of a sudden this guy's been on this role, this incredible role, and then he was struggling and fighting himself right out of the gate. What was the difference with Zach Greinke when he was struggling, and what was the difference when he was not?
First of all, he gave up one run over seven innings. So the fact that we, you know, and I hear exactly what you're asking. The fact that we're describing that as struggling is probably a tremendous credit to his ability. But I hear you. The first two innings were a tick abnormal for what we've seen, for what we've been accustomed to. I don't really know. You know, I think anytime he walks three or four guys in an outing, let alone in a couple of innings, you're certainly left scratching your head.
Yeah.
We know that he's trying to manipulate the strike zone, right? He's trying to live off the edges at times. He's trying to change speeds to a point where he keeps guys tremendously off balance. I think sometimes when you're missing the edges, which is going to happen sometimes, and those guys did a good job of putting some pretty good at-bats on him. Neil Cabrera at-bat, I remember specifically, as being a very, very good at-bat against him. Those things, I think, have happened in small pockets this year. I think the most important thing, watching the adjustment that he made,
totally,
and then somehow pitched the way he did for the rest of the game against a good hitting lineup, I think that speaks to his talent and what he can do with the baseball.
You know the ups and downs of a season, but it's so strange. If you and I are walking around Salt River Fields in March, and I tell you, I think mid-August, you're going to be a half game out. You know, you're okay, let's go, let's play ball, you're excited. But if I tell you you're going to have one of the worst months in Diamondbacks history 1 month this year, and you're going to have Little League home runs against you in August, you're going to look at me like I have four eyes. Are you happy? Are you happy where you are right now from day one of the season until now?
I think that's the perspective that you asked, the question you asked before. I think that's where you need to step back away from it and understand that last night's game and put it into the larger context. No, we're not satisfied with where we are today because we're not running away with the division. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal that we set for ourselves, and that's the goal we're going to have as long as we're here. But I think you also have to step back and have the perspective that, hey, we have played pretty well for a majority of the season. And that's what baseball is. Baseball is not about playing, you know, very, very well for the entire 162 days. You can give the 100 effort for that 162 games, but you're not going to play well for 162 games. And I think standing here today, yeah, we're taking where we're at, and we've played pretty good baseball, and we have survived 15 out of 17 in May and have survived one of the worst, you know, offensive months, I think somebody wrote in the history of the organization. Mm-hmm. I think putting all of that in perspective and stand where you are shows some toughness about this team. But like I said, in order for us to finish this off, in order for us to have a chance to win this division, you know, it's going to take even outperforming that. That's what we're trying to do.
So no Pilates ball? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
No Pilates
or nothing like that?
No.
Listen, you know what? We really appreciate. Yes?
at this point in the season, you know, it's getting out of bed is the tough part.
Okay, that's great.
Now, the one thing, Mike, that this was weird. You've been around the game a long time. Lower body tiredness or lower body fatigue. That is a little straight. That's almost borderline hockey hiding things. But is there a deeper thing here with AJ Pollock? When Torrey Lovello said he's progressing, you know, the rest of us didn't even know he had to progress from anything. What was going on with AJ and how is he now?
Yeah, no, I don't. There's no deeper thing that's going on. It's August. It's August in baseball, and these guys have been grinding it for 5 months now. I would imagine they're all feeling some level of that. And, you know, sometimes guys need a couple of days off. You know, David needed a couple of days off with his shoulder a few days ago and then came back like gangbusters in the series. I think these are the things you go through during the course of a season. So he was back last night. It's good to have him back in the lineup. And, you know, we certainly need him anchoring the middle there behind Paul.
Mike, thanks for your time. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Talk to you.
There's Mike Hazen, general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterTempe.com, or CoulterOnCamelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. First pitch is at 12:40 with Corbin on the Hill. That's on ESPN 620 AM. And then complete coverage of the game from 2 to 6 with Burns and Gambo live from Chase Field for our last half-day club of the season. You can still text half to 620 to 620 if you want to get in on that deal. Coming up next from the Community Studios, the Cardinals will kick off their preseason Saturday. Sam Bradford, how many snaps do you want to play? How many snaps are you going to play? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.